D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you, joined by Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow. Speaking of hot mics, Jonathan Hutton joining us.
Hey, okay, hold on. I want to apologize quickly because...
What happened with the hot mic?
It was me. I didn't notice. After my passionate, you know,
defense,
and I don't even really think it was a defense. It was more so of it. I'm just passionate, and what y'all doing don't seem right. We went to break, and I thought my mic was off, and I said the S word. So I do apologize to those that heard it. It was just my extension of me being passionate about what I was talking about. And I said the S word. So I thought I was off the air, thought I clicked the button, but I didn't. So I apologize to those sensitive ears. If there were some kids listening, I do apologize for that.
Well, let's talk to Hot Mike himself, Jonathan Hutton. So, Hutton, I want to hit you with a true or false question to start.
Okay.
Is Amy Adams Strunk now the worst owner in the NFL? Well, that's more of a yes or no question. But true or false, Amy Adams Strunk is the worst owner in the NFL. That's a true or false question.
I would say false, but the perception is true. I mean, it's close to being true, but the difference is I think she's an owner that is firing people and paying them to leave and then giving extensions and paying them. I do believe she wants to win. I believe there are owners who are content collecting their check, and that's okay, and they are – content showing a ton of patience. In this case, way too aggressive. The reaction has been just that. Not the bottom of the barrel, Adam, but I mean, yeah, based on results and what has happened here. Look, here's the reality. What has happened is the product of two problems with the initial plan to change the direction of the franchise by her. And why the organization, I believe, had success early with her and where it is now. Okay. First, the decision on John Robinson and Mike Vrabel. They kept Vrabel. I think she had to keep Vrabel at that point. The issue is firing Vrabel when she did. And that really separated my second point. It's that the organization doesn't have stability. We know this, but it doesn't have experience either at some key areas. Rand Carthon was hired to work with Vrabel. Carthon's learning on the job. Brian Callahan is a first-time head coach calling plays for the first time, learning on the job. He's a coach who has a quarterback who's learning on the job. And now that same coach works for vice president of football operations, or president of football operations, who last year was the assistant GM, but now he's learning on the job. So there's no Steve Underwood. There's no John Robinson-like qualities that made her promote him to team president. There's no six-year head coach, as Mike Vrabel was for Rand. Rand didn't have his guys around him by and large. He got rid of only one scout in John Robinson's scouting department, for instance. Anthony Robinson was his guy, and Breaker acted like he was, but we know that's not the case, just as it wasn't with Mike Vrabel. The new look structure and the direction of the franchise can be laid out in a press release, but the authentic foundation to the structure never existed.
So let's talk about Chad Brinker. I have termed him the supreme ruler of football. And his rise from relative unknown assistant general manager of the Tennessee Titans, and by, you could honestly say he's still a relative unknown because we don't know a lot about Chad Brinker yet.
Right.
But his rise from relative unknown assistant general manager to being promoted over the person that hired him to now being, as I said, the supreme ruler of football. It's a fascinating rise. What do you make of how quickly Chad Brinker has been able to ascend in this organization?
It's happened so fast that I would assume that it was in the works, like it was planned. I mean, that's how fast the rise to the top level has happened. I mean, reading quotes of one heartbeat from Chad Brinker, everyone working collectively to improve results. Also immediately asking for patience and noting the need for discipline and staying the course of the plan in place. Look, this is my reaction to what has happened. The collaboration era failed. It's over. Even though there were a few who survived Titans Turmoil Tuesday, the assistant GM who helped assist the GM in sticking to the collaboration mission statement has now been promoted to president of all things football. He's been knighted. It is now the Chad Brinker era, rewarded with final say over all things that directly impact the football team. Can he listen to suggestions? Sure. Sure he can. But there's not a hint of it expected or suggested in what the organization framed Tuesday compared to what we heard over the last 2 years. This was about the group. It's not about the collaborators who all got the axe, because if one were to go, I felt the decision would be to make a clean house sweep and bring in a new front office, because if one failed this quickly in meeting expectations, they all failed based on the collaboration description. 2 years ago, we were all confused on who was handling the big moment roles and who had final say and who was really driving the ship. And this past spring, it was promotion time. You know, Brinker became the team president. And even though Carthon remained in control of the football department, his assistant jumped him by more than just the job title. He grabbed control. And it happened extremely fast for a guy who was hired by the guy that he just leapfrogged.
It's a mess. It's a circus. It's a bunch of, you know, let me position myself and I'm going to do whatever I need to do to get where I need to go. And hey, listen, from a corporate standpoint, if that's the way you feel you need to, you know, roll, just understand that what you do to somebody else, somebody's going to do to you eventually. Ladder that you climb up and the people that you step on while you're trying to climb up that ladder, those are some of the same people you're going to see as you're falling back down that ladder. I do not pray for his downfall. I do not. I'm not saying that. I do not pray for Brinker's downfall. Actually, I pray and hope that they get this right so we can talk about things that we used to talk about years ago, winning football games. But if it doesn't, he has to understand, as well as Amy does, that everything will fall back and everyone will laugh, continue to laugh at your organization if this doesn't work. And with that being said, Hutt, who do you think takes this job under those circumstances? Because to me, we've discussed, and I'm sure you've had this conversation as well, Hutt, someone worth their salt, up-and-comer, that everybody's looking at as that next guy.
Yep.
He's not – I can't see him taking the job, and I can't see a seasoned guy that wants, you know, to be the GM and wants that control of a GM. Because it's like, either I'm going to do the job and fail, or I'm going to do the job and succeed. I'm not going to do the job, it fails, because somebody else is making the decisions, but I'm the one that's thrown out the door. So right. Do you think somebody like that takes the job?
I mean, so, you know, what's been reported by TD and others, you know, or just some of the names out there, I'll pull them up briefly. I'm sure you guys have gone through them. Ed Dodds is a Colts assistant general manager. He was in Seattle when they won the Super Bowl during the great teams there that were always winning, what, 6 or 7 winning seasons during his time there. He's been Chris Ballard's right-hand man for the 8th year in a row now. He's interviewed recently for the GM position with the Chargers.
Hold on,
Raiders.
He's been Ballard? I don't want to touch him.
But okay, so he's they've asked for permission to talk to him. Let's see, is it? Reggie McKenzie, old Raiders general manager, who's worked in Green Bay, by the way. Terrence Gray, who has been in Minnesota, now he's in Buffalo. I know that he has the same agent as Chad Brinker. They have requested to interview him. And again, like, this is going off of Teron and others' reports out there. Most of those guys are either director of pro personnel or they're the assistant general manager. Who takes this job? You know, it's probably a current or former person that's worked with Green Bay, a guy who's, you know, been grinding as a scout the vast majority of his football career. It depends on what you're doing around the league. And like you're saying, Mace, if you're in a position where you just want to be around ball, but you don't need the credit if it goes well, because look, if a director of pro personnel receives interest from the Titans regarding this role, it's a lateral move in every aspect except the job title of general manager. You know, they don't have full control because they don't have final say. That's semantics, but full control and final say will play a role in all this. You know, like my assumption would be this. Brinker knows who he's hiring. Mm-hmm. This hire will be the Titans general manager, but he won't be viewed as much more than the director of scouting, at least not locally, based on how the reception has been at all this. Every decision is Brinker's. To the extent that I would say Brian Callahan is a coach who doesn't control much more than the game day play calls. But, you know, that's one of the few decisions that won't solely fall on Brinker, at least while Callahan is allowed to call plays. And that's why I say the collaboration era is dead. They were very direct yesterday with what his role is going to be. And they didn't have to say very much to get the point across. So, yeah, I mean, if you're making this move, and I mean, consider that they're interviewing, they're asking for interviews for this. They were ready to go with all this. Yeah, it's like having the list in your desk. The president of football operations had the list ready to go as soon as the decision was made yesterday.
Jonathan Hutton is with us, and Hutt, my question is again from the periphery here, but I think we all know, you know, having been through all of our experiences, that whether you're talking about football or any other business, part of your, when somebody gets hired or fired or promoted, not only is that person have to be talented, but also you're selling what you have to offer. So Chad Brinker has been able to sell this idea of, I'm going to give you the infrastructure, I'm going to get you the staff. This organization didn't have analytics. It appears that he has sold this vision to Amy Adams Strunk. And last year they went to great lengths to talk about the vision and detail in the podcast. They went to that's the most I've heard Chad Brinker speak. And it made sense to me. He could sell me on the idea. I'm curious how well it's been executed. Let me give you an example. I'm looking at their website, their front office personnel. And there are people who are listed as analytics people, data analysts, analytics developer.
Yeah, I have a lot of them.
But there's no bio attached to them. There's some of them don't even have a picture next to their name. So I don't know if it doesn't mean they're not effective or how well they've done. But it's hard to really quantify what kind of progress has been made in those departments, because Brinker has sold Amy that, hey, it's working. You want to stick with me. And Rand Carthon is the weak link here. Let's move on from him. We can do better in that one. But what evidence have you seen that the infrastructure is working? Because if you're just going by results, it hasn't been any more effective than Rand Carthon's been.
Right. I mean, I haven't seen any evidence. You know, it's look, that what we were discussing, Adam mentioned earlier, like what allowed the leap ahead. I mean, I think it's exactly what you just described. You know, the analytics, and it is Brinker was doing the things that they're alluding to yesterday when they give the statement about that Rand was hired into a different job description than the one that exists today. The job description that they believe exists today, however they want to frame it, is Chad Brinker.
It's hard for me to buy that. Is that hard to buy for you?
Of course.
We're talking about football here. Let's not reinvent the wheel.
I mean, well, they're hiring. In essence, all that's really going to change is the general manager is not going to have the final say. It's now going to be the director of the president of football operations. And we know that now. And what I mean is they're still going to have a GM by title who's still going to be doing the things that everyone assumed Rand Carthon was doing. It's still the same setup. Basically, Willie, it's the setup that Mike Vrabel pitched to them. The difference is we would have Ryan Cowden in, and we've been discussing his job performance, but he would actually be the GM by title, and everyone would assume that he's making some moves when really Vrabel has his guy in place. And he's the head coach with the power. Like that to me is what Vrabel pitched and what he didn't get. And they go with Rand, and 2 years later, they're going with a similar structure to Vrabel. And it's the analytical aspect that wins out, not the football aspect. And now he's controlling things. And I mean, again, we don't know the behind the scenes aspect. I mean, reading quotes from PK, I mean, he's getting people to go on the record and say great things about Chad Brinker. And he did whenever Brinker was initially hired. But I mean, look, it's if year two for Rand Carthon was the evaluation year, here's what he's doing. If Brian Callahan was tasked with evaluating Will Levis in year one, Chad Brinker is tasked with evaluating Brian Callahan in year one in this role. So it's produce or peace out for Callahan. That's how I would view it. And then Mace made a good point about, hey, it comes back around to you. I would say other people would do it to you too in the future. I'll say if he continues down this path, he'll be fired just like Amy Adams Struck has fired others. So, I mean, it's he's mentioning patience. I see no patience on behalf of the organization. That you don't have to preach it to the fans and the media.
Right.
Prove the patience internally.
Look, I'm not going to say that Brinker can't pull this off. Everything he says philosophically that's makes sense what he's doing. They do need infrastructure. They also need to update their website and actually put a bio or put a picture next to somebody's name when it says football analytics developer or chief of staff.
They're listening, Willie, so they will have that either today or tomorrow.
How about the website guy update the website and at least put
a
bio?
It looks like when Gannett had the AI and they were like having AI write the high school recaps across the country. And they have like a fake headshot and then they have just the title. It looks like that.
But they have nothing. They don't even write where the guy's from or what he was doing before. It's just I'm not saying that means they're bad at their job. It just it doesn't look professional. It doesn't look like it's a tight-knit attention to detail kind of thing that Brinker is trying to sell here. But here's the other thing that's interesting to me is that Chad Brinker, the message that he gave in this initial interview, I think it was to the Tennessean that I was reading, and Nick Suss that was writing, he gave a vision of drafting, developing, and a long-term view.
Yes.
And he completely rewrote the book. That was completely different than they had the opportunity to do last year, which is when they should have done it. So I'm wondering about that, right? I think they were clear that we had to go spend a lot of money in free agency just to field anything that gave us a shot to be competitive. But I think now that they're back to square one with the quarterback, I think he knows he's going to have to buy some time because this just solving the quarterback alone is going to be a really, really tough thing to do.
Well, I mean, he was a part of the push to jump ahead over the offseason. A great offseason would equal results in this past season. You know, it's a total 180 from the narrative that was spinning last offseason, too. Now it's about patience in the long term. And last year it was about, we have so much money to spend in free agency. We have a young, talented quarterback, and here we go. You know, we have a relationship general manager. We have an analytical assistant GM, and now he's being promoted. Let's rock and roll, you know, and this offseason is immediate in the round of interviews that Brinker did by phone, I'm guessing, with local media to appease them for the print, not much else, preaching patience there. I'm glad he spoke to them, but that's why there's not some outcry for a press conference because, well, those guys got their one-on-one time where they asked good questions. But I wonder how the presser would have been because, again, we don't see him. It's interesting that he's the voice of football ops and he's the voice for all things football. But it's still going to be Callahan who's the voice for all things organization.
We'll also see if Brinker decides to do what Rand Carthon didn't do, and that is create his own narrative. He's pretty well-spoken from what I can tell. But will he do regular meetings with the media? Will he do some radio interviews or things that get him out and help him connect and sell his plan? I'm curious about that.
Well, here's the thing, too. And Mace, I believe you were alluding to this, right? Like, it's not like Carthon didn't want to do that. He just didn't. He wasn't able to speak or something like that. Is that true?
From what I'm gathering, and this just was on one situation where they were asked to talk to both Brinkert and Callahan, meaning Brinkert and
Rand.
And Rand said, yeah. Brinker was like, yeah, man. But then it came back. And I think the consensus was, no, not now for everybody.
Okay.
So,
well,
take it for what it's worth.
And let's just say what they're saying is the direction now and the overall, mission statement, I believe is the mission statement for every front office across the league. You know, like they want to draft good players and then retain them. I mean, that's literally every play.
Not reinventing the wheel.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you're going to just push that, I mean, that is so vanilla and surface level that I think most people would read through that.
But that's what you say, Hutt, when there's not going to be any change, but you're just trying to act as if there will be a change or you're just throwing big words out there. And make it seem like, this is going to be a change, when in actuality, no, it's not.
Yeah, or
and that's cool. It's okay. But
well, but I think you can reset the expectations a little bit, which they didn't do last year. Because I think he's telling you it may take a while, especially if you don't have a quarterback. You're at square one with a quarterback.
And I'm sorry about this. So
can't guarantee, you can't promise wins next year.
So he just figured this out. He just figured out
that
this roster
was
bad.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. Like, Willie, and I will agree to Willie's been saying this, even though I didn't wholeheartedly think it was a rebuild. Willie was saying this last year. They should just say it's a rebuild and it buys people time. But for some reason they did, and now all of a sudden now it's this epiphany that it's a man, miss me with that. Tell that to somebody that don't know.
Tell that to Amy Adams Strunk.
I guess.
Well, tell somebody that don't know. Selling her is really where the game is won and lost, really. You have to sell her.
Tell there's a rebuild going on to Amy Adams Strunk because she said yesterday that Carthon sucked for two seasons and he had to be fired.
Let me ask one more here, Hutt. With the GM job being open, how does the Rooney Rule apply here?
This is a great question because Josina Anderson, I believe, is alluding to this. So the Rooney Rule is no different than hiring a head coach. The Titans have to have to interview two minority candidates from outside the organization. You would have to do that for the head coaching position as well. And Josina Anderson, the report about how the franchise allocated job titles and roles, where she said that there had been questions around the dynamic between the two, who had really had final say within allowable policies. Then she said the several execs around the league had been asking pertinent league officials about this. I take the league officials to mean the Fritz Pollard Alliance that oversees the Rooney Rule. And if you read Burke Nyholt's statement yesterday from that vantage point, instead of the routine job description to provide transparency for employees, fans, and media, and you look at it from a response to that, when the first sentence is, it's important for Amy to have absolute clarity in football organization. I mean, it reads more like a lawyer write-up than anything.
Or as Adam said, word salad.
Elite-level corporate word salad.
Elite-level degree talent, too. I mean, that's what Burke, that's his background. You know, that's Steve Underwood, too. And that's fine. But you have to follow the Rooney Rule. And I think the question would be who has final say versus who has full control. Full control, final say. And I think Josina Anderson is alluding to the fact that this was going on last year, not immediate right now, on who had that final say versus full control. If both of them were, if you have both parties saying one thing or the other, which way do you lean on who has that authority? And how did someone get that power when they created the position last year? That was a new position for the Titans that Chad Brinker took over. So that's an executive level position. And you have to follow the Rooney Rule for that. And you would have to do it now, too. But there's the clarity. Long story short, there's the clarity, Willie, of the general manager position. Is it really the general manager position, or is it what just happened in just allocating this to Chad Brinker in a position they made up from inside the organization? They have Adolfo Birch. They have Burke Nyholt. I mean, again, they're well aware of the NFL rules and policies. But this isn't over. I know Florio has already written up that he's asked the league for clarity on this about the Titans and what they've done. So it's just now getting started on the details of that.
Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton Withrow joining us as he does every Wednesday. Hutton, great stuff, my friend. We'll talk next week.
Yeah, enjoy the show, guys. Keep it up.
Thanks, Hutt.
Thanks, Hutton. Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow. That's where you can find Jonathan Hutton and, of course, Chad Withrow. 615-737-1025. Willie, cover your ears. I'm about to use a trigger word of yours. What's the plan? What's the plan? Chad Brinker explains it. We'll get into that next. Willie Dunnick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingit, 1025, 1063.